Greetings, beloved ones. Welcome to the second of the Purification Teachings talks. Today, I'm going to be talking with you about living from the divine. And the title itself is telling, because we need to ask, what else could we live from but the divine? And the answer is, we walk around thinking of ourselves as enclosed in our skins and as invisible to the rest of the world. And so we have in our consciousness holding a separation. We are in our consciousness holding a separation between our daily activities and our divine self. Most of us are aware, at least on a concept level, that we have a self that comes from God, and that that self is connected with our everyday life. We believe that, at least many of us believe that. And yet when we are operating on a daily level doing things we think of as ordinary, we don't know what to make of that concept. We don't know. We feel like we're just here, making a meal, making dinner, washing up, taking care of things. And so the question of from, living from the divine, is one of how to hold sacred reality. How can everything that we do become sacred? The answer to this question involves a fundamental shift in our identity, who we think we are. And the problem of making that shift is we're so accustomed to thinking of ourselves as specialists in roles, the role of a teacher, the role of a mother, the role of a child, the role of a student, the role of a worker, the role of a computer programmer, the role of anything. We think of ourselves in compartments in terms of roles, and we don't feel connected with the deeper being that we are. And this is the fundamental shift that needs to take place in our consciousness so that we can be fully here as ourselves and so that we can be fully here as participants in the world. What does it mean to have a deeper being? What does that mean? How can we access that truth? How can we know that it's real? Those who have practiced meditation for thousands of years have sought the answer to this question, have sought to understand who the self is when the mind is disengaged and when thoughts are not taken to be the self. This is the seduction of our involvement with physical reality for millennia, that we're used to believing our physical senses and thinking that we are responding from ourselves to the environment because we have thoughts, because we have emotions, because we're responding to life as it comes to us and as we see it. So the primary disconnect, in order to feel one's soul or deeper being, is to truly know and believe that your thoughts are not you, that your emotions are not you. And then you can begin a true search for what is you. The screen that evolves in meditation is one in which watching takes place. Watching the passage of feelings and thoughts go by with the effort to separate from them. That's the gist of meditation in all forms. But today we're being called to something beyond meditation, or we could say meditation in everyday life. Meditation in everyday life, that the washing of clothes, that the cleaning of children, that the driving a car, that walking in the street, that being in nature, all of it can be a meditation in the sense that we reach for the sacred, our soul self, in the presence of the activity. in the long run, and the way it is intended for us, there's no reaching that's needed, because our soul on the physical plane, we are meant to be unified beings. We're not meant to have to work to find our deeper self, to have to effort to do it. But this is a progressive unfoldment of consciousness. And now, for many of us, we need to remember, to take the moment to remember what is real in this moment, what is the meaning of this moment, where am I truly in this moment. We need to take the time to remember that each moment is sacred. And again, I use the word illusion because we are so used to thinking of the world as divided into things that are ordinary and things that are sacred. That's a function of perception. That's not the way that the soul works or that consciousness works. We have gotten accustomed to that, to thinking of ourselves and the things we do as ordinary, and then separating that part of our life from the rest, to feel, to reach, to remember what is sacred reality. So those of us who are seeking a deeper sense of self make the effort from moment to moment to remember that each moment is sacred. And what is that involved with? It means that each moment is purposeful, each moment is meaningful, each moment is bringing to us something of greater wholeness. We imagine that that's not true. We imagine that this is a moment that's a waste. It's a moment of empty time. We treat our tasks as if they're insignificant. We treat our motions as if they're insignificant because we haven't arrived yet at the experience of unity. Unity, consciousness, means that in the process of doing whatever we're doing, grating carrots, preparing a meal, washing clothes, answering a phone call, greeting a friend, walking, talking, doing, we're aware that we're part of the universe, that the universe and us are one like that. So that our activities are all the time having an effect on everything around us. The illusion of aloneness tells us, when, especially when we're alone in a room doing something, that we're alone in a room, because we're identifying ourselves with our physical bodies. So if we're alone in our house, we're alone in our room, we're listening to the radio, we're doing whatever we're doing, we think, well, here I am, I'm not visible to the rest of the world, I'm just here. And yet, beloved ones, that's never true. You're never just here. The universe is interacting with you every single moment of your life, because your physical life is connected in every single moment to the life of your soul. It didn't get separated because you're in a physical body. You think it's separated. We feel that we're alone. But the soul that lives, the divine that lives within you, says, I am here to make of this moment a greater expression of who you are. I am here to be manifested on this plane of experience. I have come in your body to be you in this physical expression. Therefore, everything is meaningful, and everything needs to be attended to as meaningful. Nothing needs to be taken for granted, and nothing is wasted. We don't go through our lives this way, as thinking of ourselves as that important. We go through our lives thinking of ourselves as separate and as less significant than we are. Less significant in terms of what we're capable of, and less significant to the world. Beloved ones, I want to say this clearly for you, because the diminishing of our importance is such a great deficit in the way we experience life. we are always interacting with the rest of the world, not just when we're socially active, not just when we're doing something, writing a letter, making a phone call. We are always interacting with the universe of the divine. We are never alone. And the universe of the divine is always interacting with us. It's true that some of us have more of an attunement to specific words of guidance, and we wait for it, and we hope for the nourishment of that specific kinds of guidance will come to us. But the guidance doesn't need to come in words. It comes in words and it comforts us because then our minds can say, ah, yes, something's here. It's arrived, you know. We are being contacted by something beyond ourselves. That contact is always present. That contact is always there, and we get lost, so often lost, in the illusion that we're doing ordinary things and that this moment and that moment and that moment are just wasted. It's never true. There's a stream of interactive life. The stream is going on in us and it's going on around us. Interactive life that's of the divine, both inside and outside, and it's meant to be one. We are always doing this dance with life, even if we're sitting in a chair, even if we're doing nothing in the way of action. What is the interaction? The interaction is with our thoughts. Your thoughts are being broadcast outwardly to the universe, whether you're sitting in a chair or not. So, if we believe that, then we can seek, strive to be thinking thoughts that are congruent with our soul. Not thoughts that are lesser than our soul, but thoughts that might have to do with what am I meant to be doing here right now? What is God telling me right now? What is my relationship with the world right now? These are the important questions. What am I doing here? Not what am I doing here with my hands or my activity, but what am I doing here? When we think like that, we are lining ourselves up with our soul purpose. Every minute of our life is filled with purpose. Every minute of our life brings us into greater attunement with the divine within, without exception. There is not a moment that is wasted. So if we think like this, and we let go of the sense of being unimportant and insignificant, if we let it go and can embrace the holiness of our divine being, no matter what our outer life looks like, then from that place, we can ask, what is my relationship with the rest of the world, the physical world, the embodied world? What am I meant to be doing here, not just for myself, but for the world? Your soul doesn't make a distinction between what's inside you and what's outside you. Your soul doesn't make a distinction between your personal life and the life of the world. Only we in our ego self make that distinction. Our soul is in a flow that links the inner self, thoughts, emotions, with the outer expression of that, because the earth, beloved ones, is a divine creation. And all souls that inhabit the earth are part of the earth's divine being. So we are souls, we inhabit the earth, we are interacting with the rest of life, even if we're not involved in social or spiritual activism, even if we're not doing anything that is involved with our bodies, we're involved with our consciousness. Our consciousness is involved with the consciousness of all others. What are we meant to be doing with that consciousness? This is a choice that we make. How are we meant to be here? Every moment we are making that choice of involvement. What is our relationship to ourselves? What is our relationship to the world? Every moment we are choosing where to place our consciousness. And this is not just a matter of thought. This is not just a matter of thinking about what particular dilemma or tragedy or event in the world is grabbing our attention right now, although that too is part of it. Our consciousness is drawn to those things we feel related to, those things that we feel we wish we could have some impact on. Our consciousness is drawn to certain events and certain places because of our soul's history. But beyond thought, beyond event, beyond thinking about the specifics of what is happening in the world right now, we are linked in our consciousness, for better or worse, by a network of consciousness, by a network of being, because we are one body. We are one soul. So everything that we do with our consciousness makes a difference. Everything. Our thoughts are not invisible. We think they're invisible because we experience them as inside of our own heads, but they're not invisible. Our desires to better life for all beings is not invisible. When we think that thought, we have a wish to be here to help the world. That thought gets broadcast into the world. It doesn't just stay inside our own heads. It gets broadcast as an intention of love, compassion, sadness perhaps, whatever the feeling that goes with it. We wish to be of help to the world. And so, with that connection with our divine self and with our divine intention, we can experience our relationship with the world as ongoing, minute by minute. We are not separate from the world. We are part of the world, and our life can become a prayer. This is what it means to have a sacred life, that our life itself can become a prayer. The prayer doesn't have to be said in words. It can be our heart's intention to bless the world from our divine being. It can be our heart's intention to be generous with our life, to express our true purpose for being here, whatever that might look like. Generosity is a feeling of the heart and soul to give. And where we give is determined by our individual circumstances. But the feeling of wishing to give is coming from love and from the soul. So we can be sitting in a chair, in a room, staring out a window, looking around, and our bodies can be doing not much, and we can be having a thought of wishing to give to the world or wishing to give to some particular circumstance. And that thought becomes a prayer, and that prayer blesses the universe. And that prayer goes out with our thoughts as an energy to communicate with the rest of life, because our soul, which is our deeper self, which is our deeper being, is always, always, always connected to the rest of life. We are never alone inside our own skins. We are never separated from the divine core of our being. We only experience ourselves that way. And as an experience, then, we become diminished, and we don't feel we have an effect on the rest of life. And so I want to say again, please consider. Imagine that your life is a prayer, and that you're praying for what is most important to you. That prayer doesn't have to be in words. That prayer is a calling forth, a calling out of your heart. If you're not relating to life from your heart, you won't feel a prayer. You'll feel the thoughts in your mind that are being generated by the ego self that thinks it's separate. But if you can get past that idea of you being your thoughts, then you can be with your heart and experience your life as a prayer of gratitude for the divine blessing of life, as a prayer of generosity to give to those who are suffering, as a prayer of generosity to give to life, even if you don't know how that might be possible. Each of us, beloved ones, is being called now, today especially, with all the suffering that's going on in the world. with all the events that are causing tears for so many people, each of us is being called to experience our life as a prayer, and no longer to think of ourselves as separate. And if you find yourself in the course of a day experiencing something in your mind that says, I'll sit and become more, what shall we say, related to things, more conscious later when I'm not so busy, which is how it usually goes, even though we don't think that whole thought in words, I'll do this when I'm not so busy, then I hope you will catch yourself in that thought, because that thought of being too busy to be a prayer is the thought that separates life and separates you from the divine. That thought of being too busy or doing something else and then getting to experience life as sacred, that's the thought that causes the separation between you and your soul or divine self. Because there is no such thing as busy and not busy, and there is no such thing as ordinary and not ordinary. Even if your body and your hands and your thoughts need to be directed towards a particular task which involves your mind, and there are certainly many things that we need to do that are mentally focused, that are good things, that are important things, the prayer can be surrounding and infusing those things. Your mind can be working to do what it has to do if you have a job, or if you have to plan something that involves a mental focus so that you can figure out things that way. You can use your mind. Your mind is there to do good. But you can give your mind to God. Your mind can be used in service to God. Your mind can be used in service to life. Whatever you're doing can be in service to life. So if your mind is going to be focused during a period of time, you can surround that mental process with a prayer. You can do your work and surround your work with a prayer. And in the presence of your thought process of thinking about your task and what you have to do, the prayer that you pray goes on silently in the background. May this be of service to life. May this that I am doing be of service to life. That's the prayer that goes on in the background. And the mind can be doing its task, and the prayer to be of service to life can go on in the background. That's how a sacred life becomes sacred. To not separate thoughts from sacredness, but to give them to God's purposes. To not separate ordinary tasks from holiness, but to bring holiness to the presence of ordinary tasks. And especially today, when so much is calling us to revise our thinking about who we are and who we are in relationship to the rest of humanity, especially today, we need to arrive at the place of feeling, thinking, being our divine self. Let this be our prayer for ourselves and for all beings, that all may come to know themselves as one within themselves and one with the divine earth, whose being encompasses all embodied beings, and of which we, each of us, is always a part. May this be a prayer for humanity, that consciousness may come to know itself as one, embodied in many different forms, with many different appearances, and many different beliefs, but consciousness and being may come to know itself as one. We pray this for ourselves and for the earth.